Amen. We want you to go to the Gospel of Mark tonight. Amen. The Gospel of Mark. Thank you, men. We're going to talk about tonight issues of the heart. Heart issues. How many has heart issues? You have irregular beats? Yeah, well, you know, pastor has three stents in my heart. Anybody else has stents in your heart? Let's see. We got some, Brother Craig. Different ones of us, we've had heart issues. And we're going to mark the second chapter. Verses 1 through 12 is where we want to read from. And this week in my personal devotion, this was there, and I want to share it with the church tonight. Mark chapter 2, verse 1, all the way, we're going to read to verse 12. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway, many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached what to them? The word unto them. And they came unto him bringing one sick of palsy, which was born or carried afore. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let him down, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And just stop there. I want you to think about the precision of four men letting somebody down. Man, when Jesus saw whose faith? He said unto the sick man, sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there reasoning in the heart, why did this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your heart? Whether it's easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven, or to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose and took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. You may be seated. Heart issues. I want you to think with me. A man went to the dentist with a severe toothache. After examination, the dentist discovers the real issue was deeper than the tooth. It was a heart disease. Do you know that heart disease, the second cause for heart disease is not taking care of your teeth? Dental plaque, all that, second thing. Well, this patient was sent to the cardiologist, and the cardiologist, when he looked and examined him, he realized this guy desperately needed attention and was sent to the hospital, and his life was saved by the cardiologist and also by the dentist, because the dentist saw something more than a tooth problem. In Mark, I want to tell you, sometimes what hurts not is really what not the problem is. In Mark, the second chapter, four men carried their paralyzed friend to Jesus. And unable to get through the crowd, they had to open the roof, tear it up, and lower him down with precision to the Lord. Everybody expected Jesus to say, rise up and walk. But instead, Jesus said, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Jesus saw beyond paralysis that he had, the shaking. Jesus saw a heart issue. What's the evidence of him having a heart issue? Perhaps his condition was connected to maybe a past sin. Perhaps guilt weighed heavier than paralysis. Whatever the case, Jesus addressed the deeper issue. And I want you to understand that before this man could walk, he had to have a heart transplant or a heart fix because he had an issue. Jesus didn't at first say, rise up and walk. He said, thy sins be forgiven. He had something wrong with his heart. From then, the great physician performs a great spiritual cure. The spiritual cure is worth more than a physical cure because Jesus told the people, the scribes who was condemning, he said, what is easier? What is better for me to say? It is more important for this man's sins to be forgiven than for him to walk and to be healed. I'm thankful today that Jesus is still a heart healer. Are you thankful? Amen. There's a lot of people have problems walking with God. They have problems functioning in life. And they wonder why they can't live for God. They can't walk with God. It all goes back to our heart and our heart issues. And I want to talk tonight from that. Do you know that just a physical heart disease has causes, but so does a spiritual heart disease? First of all, the number one situation that I have found is genetics. Do you know, if somebody in your family has died of a heart attack, potentially you're going to have heart disease. My dad fell over at 59 years old, sudden. He had been sick. Mother and dad were going to Tennessee, to Chattanooga area, and they were going to go with my brother camping. My dad was so excited. My mother was so excited. And when they got to Chattanooga where Roger lived, and he was sick, mother said, they said, just take him to that clinic around the road, down the hill right here. And while he was at the clinic, they were examining him, and my dad fell dead of a heart attack right there very quickly. And so in my genetics, I have heart issues. Amen. Do you know you were born in sin with a fallen nature? Every one of us has a heart issue because we were born in sin. And let me go to the next one. The next cause is improper diet. Yeah. Sinful input. Mark says in chapter 7, 21, whatever enters the heart shapens it. And, you know, what we watch, what we hear, what we entertain, and what we meditate on really matters. Whatever you put in your heart really matters. So improper diet begins to cause heart disease. Number three, lack of exercise. When your life is void of faith and you don't exercise faith, James 2:20 says, faith that is never exercised becomes weak. Think with me tonight. If you never pray, you become weak. If you never study, you become weak. If you never tried to exercise your faith, it would cause something with your heart an issue. And the fourth thing that causes heart issues is lifestyle. People that live in fifth gear all the time and never sleep, you know. I used to compete with the hoot owls and the chickens. I mean, we would go to bed 1 or 2 in the morning, didn't even think about it, and had to get up before daylight. And, man, it didn't bother me a bit, I thought. But when you burn the candle at both ends, after a while, it's going to pay off. You're going to have a lifestyle issue, and it's going to cause a heart issue. Do you know you need a rest? You need a rest. You need that time. But spiritually, your lifestyle, if you live in an unholy, ungodly lifestyle, if you're courting things that are sinful, guess what? Your lifestyle is going to catch up with you. Titus 1:16, a lifestyle contrary to God will harden your heart. You ever seen somebody just didn't care? They didn't care how they were living. They didn't care what was going on. So what? I'm okay. That's the way I used to feel. Man, I'm all right. I'm okay. I could. Somebody said to me, you need to slow down. You're running too much. When you're running too much the wrong race, friend, it's going to catch up with you. You'll have an issue of the heart. You know, God still works on the heart, and I think that God is one that knows how to handle your heart. But God is a gentleman. God only works with hearts that is given to him. I'm thankful today that God still works on hearts. God can change you. In 1 Chronicles, the 28th chapter, Solomon begins to proclaim, and the Lord proclaims that he said, Solomon, my son, know that the Lord God of thy father, know him, serve him with a perfect heart, and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understand all the imaginations of the thought. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. The seeker, those that serve him with a heart that is after him and a willing mind is the one that has the hand of the great physician in their life. You know, when God begins, you know what God does in the heart? He searches the heart. Proverbs begins to speak, every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. God looks and searches the hearts of man. The next thing, God still touches and influences the heart. I love the scripture because in 1 Samuel 10:26, the Bible says, and Saul went home to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. This is when King Saul was first anointed. King Saul, when he was first anointed, Brother Colton, he had a heart that was very humble. He was a tall man by stature, the Bible says, and his heart was pure. But somewhere in time, he got too big for his britches. King Saul became big in his own eyes. The weight of the crown, he liked it. He liked that authority. He liked carrying that big stick, so to speak, and saying, I'm the king, I'm the boss. And somewhere in time, the Bible says, King Saul's heart became weak. Harden. Amen. I think God still touches the heart. Ezekiel 36:26. God still creates a new heart. Amen. The scripture says, a new heart also would I give you, and a new spirit would I put within you, and I would take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I would give you a heart of flesh. Are you thankful tonight that God still creates a new heart? The scripture said, create in me a clean heart. And renew what? Yes. Next thing, in Proverbs 16:1, the Lord prepares the heart. The preparations of the heart in man and the answers of the tongue is from the Lord. I'm glad that God prepares your heart. God works on you. God's not just going to leave you there, but God will prepare your heart. Acts 16:14, God opens the heart. I love this when I read this. One time I memorized this scripture when I was in Bible quizzing. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto things which were spoken of Paul. The Lord opened her heart. You know what I want God to do with me? I want God to keep my heart open. Amen. How many wants that? Is that your prayer tonight? God, open my heart. I don't want to have all these issues, amen, in my heart, but I don't want to have a closed heart. You ever seen somebody had a closed heart? I mean, they didn't want God to do anything. They didn't want God, don't pray for, I don't want anything of God. I'm good like I am. But God opened the heart. The next thing we find in 2 Corinthians 4:6, God enlightens the heart. For the commandment, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Are you thankful that God still turns the light on in your heart? That you're able to see you. You're able to see you. You're able to see your good condition. God has more than x-ray. God has a great mirror for you to look inside of your heart and see your condition. Man, you try to talk to somebody about their heart, but they don't want to see it. I can see evidence of heart problems, heart issues in people, but because it's all over them, their life. The fruit of their life will begin to show that they have a heart problem. And, well, I'm glad that God turns the light on and lets you realize that you need work in your heart. The next thing, Psalm 27, verse 14. This is what the Lord does. The scripture says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall, what? Strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, upon the Lord. Isn't it amazing when you start waiting on God, God strengthens your heart. God still strengthens hearts. How many let me ask this question. I mean, you don't have to raise your hand. How many feel in the Holy Ghost that God is working and strengthening your relationship? Amen. You don't have to raise your hand, but there's some in this place. I see you growing in God. I see people growing in their faith. And it's exciting to a shepherd to watch this. God still strengthens hearts. The next thing God does in 1 Thessalonians 3:13, to the end that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. He establishes the hearts that you could be unblameable. I'm glad that God would give me a great defense system that when the enemy wants to come in and charge me, that I am unblameable. Are you thankful that God gives you the power to overcome? God establishes people that you could say no when you couldn't say no before. Amen. When you used to exaggerate and you used to want to do this, now you don't have to lie. You don't have to boast about yourself. Have you ever heard yourself talk? Have you ever heard somebody that boast and they start talking how great they were and look what they could do, look what I'm better. That's what they're saying, in other words. And somebody that is narcissistic, it's all about them. They got eye problem. I do this. I do that. I want to tell you, spiritual eye problem will cause heart issues. But I'm thankful today that God will establish the heart and let you see yourself and learn to have a defensive manner against the wickedness and the evil of the heart. Are you thankful for the glory of the Holy Ghost tonight? Hallelujah. You know what? I have some nurses here. I have several nurses in the church, but isn't it amazing? One of the first things that the doctor or nurse would do, and sis, you've been on ambulance before. I mean, you've been there when somebody was, having an episode with the heart. What's the first thing you do when you walk up to them that you start? What is something, how you evaluate when somebody's having a heart problem?
Mm-hmm. Before I ever lay a hand on them, I'm laying my eyes on them. Mm-hmm. And that tells me, hey, there is a problem, or it's not quite as bad as it could be. And then once I determine, hey, we got to get on the good foot here, I'm looking at their heart rate. I'm putting a monitor on them so I can actually see a picture of the heart. I'm listening to the heart, not just, you know, looking at the picture of it, but I'm also looking, like, listening to what the heart is telling me, physically listening, but also, you know, like, mm-hmm. taking that knowledge and listening to what they're telling me, their body is telling me, if that makes sense.
You made so much sense. There's a lot of indications about when somebody's having a heart problem, heart attack, heart issues. And one of the great things that you could tell is by somebody's heartbeat, their pulse. I love it when somebody has a heartbeat after God. You could tell it's vibrant. I mean, you don't have to have one of these things you put in your ear and you know. No. When somebody has a heartbeat after God, it's going to be evident. There's going to be something in the way you conduct yourself. It's going to be in the way you worship. Amen. It's going to be you probably can't sing sometimes. You couldn't sing a tune in a bucket. But isn't it amazing? You don't have to when you do it from your heart. And God loves it when somebody is one that is mindful, that has a heartbeat after God. You could tell by the way somebody gives. You could tell by a person the way they give. And God, he loves a cheerful giver. When you got your heart after God, I mean, man, it's nothing for you to say, whatever it takes, hey, I'll give. And you know that tithe goes, I mean, that's something you don't argue about. It's in the word of the Lord. And that offering, man, the Lord tells you, God don't have to give you two or three, say, nudges and say, give. I'm glad that I've learned whenever the Lord says it, just do it. Amen. Because you could tell somebody's true heart by their giving, their living, and the way that they present themselves. It's something about your testimony that shines, the light that God puts in you. And let me ask you tonight, what should our heart be? The scripture describes the kinds of heart that God desires. Number one, our heart should be prepared towards God. We read about that a while ago. I want to prepare my heart. Now, if you had company coming over that were some great friends of yours, and they would come into your house, and Coley, you know that these great people that you respected and admired decided they'd come into Coley's house, and you had that spare room, and you had time enough to prepare for them. You knew they were coming, and they want to sleep in that bedroom at your house. You would prepare. You would make sure. I mean, they're special people, so I'm going to go through, and I'm going to make sure sheets are clean. I'm going to make sure the room is clean. I'm going to make sure there's things there. I'm going to prepare for them. And when your heart is prepared for God, you're going to keep yourself clean before God. And a little boy, his grandma told him just recently, your heart is messy. The grandma said, your heart is messy. And by the time it all leaked back down to the little boy's mama, the mama got upset that grandma would tell that little boy, your heart's messy. But if you stopped and you begin to say to the little boy, hey, why did grandma say your heart's messy? Were you being mean? Were you being ugly to grandma? And the little boy said, yes, I was. Well, you know what that tells me? That little boy didn't realize. He just repeated it. Mama got upset because grandma said his heart was messy. A messy heart is a sign of somebody's not taking care of something. This little boy had an attitude. And this little boy needed to realize that inside of everybody is good and evil. You have a choice. And which one that you lean on and which one you take care of in your life is the one that's going to win. You remember the old story? My daddy talked about it. And I use it many times here in teaching. There was a grandpa and a little boy. And they were looking, and these two dogs were fighting. And the little boy said, grandpa, which one of these dogs are going to win? And the grandpa, he waited a little bit. And he answered that grandson. He said, son, the dog you feed the most will win. I want to tell you, there's two different entities in your life. There's the flesh and the spirit. And if you feed the flesh, hear me, the flesh will win. But if you feed the spirit has power. But God wants you to take care of the one that needs to be taken care of. The little boy had a messy heart. You know what he needed to do? He needed to clean his mess. And many times we have messy hearts that need special attention. I need intensive care, don't you? But it takes taking care of that heart and that thing and put it in the hands of God. Our heart should be given fully to God. God don't want a half heart. Half-heartedness is not wholeheartedness. The next thing, the Bible speaks about the heart needs to be perfect with God. That word perfect there means just simply it needs to be complete. It needs to be in tune. When a guitar is out of tune, those of you that play guitar, Brother Zach, Sister Kristen, you know, it only takes one string getting out of tune. But when it's in tune, how pleasant it is. But when you play a guitar and you know music, you can tell when somebody's off. When you know how, you know, to tell, I mean, you can hear when somebody's out of tune, whether they're singing out of tune. God wants you to tune your heart. And you just don't tune your heart occasionally. Tune your heart every day with God. The next thing, a heart needs to be applied unto wisdom. I need wisdom. I just don't move off the cuff, but I seek God for God's part in my heart. Learn to seek wisdom. Learn to keep your heart pure. Learn to keep your heart single, undivided. Your heart belongs to God. Don't give your heart to something else. You belong to God. Next thing, your heart needs to stay tender. I love to watch tender-hearted people that love God. They're not afraid, not ashamed. Tears are a language that God understands, doesn't he? Thank God for a tender heart. And the next thing the scripture tells us, keep your heart with all diligence. Everything you got, keep it there. And I mentioned before going to Memorial Hospital one time, and I walked in the door, and there was a certain smell. I shook my head, and I thought, boy. So I went up to the second floor, the third floor, I think it was, here. And I come back down. When I got off the elevator, I smelled it again, and I knew what it was. You know what it was? A dirty mop, a sour mop. They mopped the place with a sour mop. And the whole bottom floor smelt that way. When you got walked in the door, when you got off the elevator, somebody didn't rinse that mop out. They didn't let it dry properly. And isn't it crazy when we have a sour spirit? A sour spirit ruins everything in your life. Oh, God, let me have a right spirit. We need to keep our hearts with all diligence. Hey, friend, your attitude matters. You ever seen somebody just was a hard one to crack? They had an attitude. God, you reach to them. You preach to them. You try to help them. But they're locked up. God wants somebody that opens their heart and gives God that opportunity. The scripture said, Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Life flows from the heart. So what must we do with all our heart? We're commanded to believe with all our heart. God wants you to believe. God wants you to serve with all your heart. God wants you to trust with all your heart. God wants you to love with all your heart. God wants you to return to him with all your heart. Just don't make a half turn to God. Return to him. Be completely for him. Do his will from your heart and love one another with a pure heart, the Bible says. God, man, I want God. I want God's pure love, but God wants my pure love. And the next thing, we should pray that our heart may be cleansed, united, that we fear God, we respect God, that we incline to his testimonies, that we're directed in his love. We also must not harden our heart. We should not harden our heart against the poor, the Bible says. And we should not regard iniquity in our heart. If iniquity, or let's just put it this way, an evil thought comes through your mind, don't entertain it. And Brother Colton taught Sunday, some of you wasn't in, but for a man, when you see somebody, I mean, in your eyes, look, it's that second look could get you, or a woman the same way. It's not just men that lust. But we need to be careful that we do not open the door for these things. Amen. Regard not iniquity in your heart. Take heed lest our hearts be deceived. You ever seen somebody who swallowed anything that was thrown their way? Be not deceived. Not everything that speaks in tongues is of the Holy Ghost. I want you to be careful even when we speak in tongues. You know, for some people, when they speak with other tongues, there's a carefulness. And I think we need that. Have you ever seen, when I was a kid, my mom and daddy bought me a little gun. You pull the trigger, and it sounded like a machine gun. Rat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat. You know what I'm talking about? There are so many people that turn tongues on, and it's almost like that machine gun. They pull in the trigger, and they just rattle in tongues, and they're not even really sincere. You see them just, I mean, and they're rattling tongues and rattling. I want to tell you, don't easily just rattle in tongues. Am I making sense tonight, Sister Crossway? We don't just easily turn tongues on. It needs to be something that whenever the Holy Ghost comes over you, you yield to the Holy Ghost. Let it not be your working. Let it not be the same old you. I mean, it's like even hear preachers today, and they rattle. We don't worship tongues, we worship God. And when you yield to God, it will be a language that you don't know. It will be a communion to God, not just a rattle. Be careful to guard yourself even that, because we could be deceived. Not everything speaking tongues is of God. Not everything that looks right can be right. Keep the word of God as the thing in your life that you judge yourself with. Amen. Praise God. Lest take heed lest your heart be deceived. Now I want to talk to you about the character of the renewed heart. A renewed heart is fixed on God. Is joyful in God. Is upright, clean, pure. I mean, broken and contrite. A renewed heart is obedient. And it's filled with the law of God. I mean, it's awed by the word of God. It's respectful of the things of God. It is enlarged, that is growing, is grasping. And it's prayerful, zealous, wise. And it's a treasury of good. I want my heart to be a treasury of good. I want to cling to what is right. I want to hold what is good. The next thing, the character of the unrenewed heart. Listen to this. The unrenewed heart is deceitful, desperately wicked, darkened, divided, double-minded, hard, proud, rebellious, carnal, covetous, idolatrous, influenced by the devil, evil, easily influenced hearts, and fully set to do evil, and often hardened through sin. I want to just say this tonight. The difference between the two is not environment. It is regeneration. I want to tell you, you got to renew your heart. I got to stay renewed in my heart. One time, praying through is not enough. I got to stay through. Look at your neighbor and say, we must stay through. You got to pray through and you got to stay through. You got to work on you. You got to renew your heart. Next thing, we talked about it a while ago, but I'm going to say it again. Guard your heart. Psalm 51 says, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me. David understood you can lose joy before you lose position. And you can lose purity before you lose influence. Guard your heart. A holy heart is one given completely to God. Remember the word holy, H-O-L-Y, relates to a holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, heart given to God. And a well-tuned heart is like a heart that is well-tuned. It's like a well-tuned harp. When God touches it, it's going to produce a right sound or right results. Is your heart tuned? If so, when God touches your heart, it's going to produce the right sound or the right results in your life. I'm thankful today. So, Jesus, all of a sudden, he's in a house, and the roof is being torn off. The owner of that house, I mean, there's consequences of that roof being torn off. But somebody had to get a friend to Jesus. And precisely, they had to work together to lower him strategically. What would happen if Brother Zach on the right corner would have got too anxious and lowered him down, and Brother Colton on the other corner was not in sync with him? They would have tumbled him out. But they lowered him down strategically because of their faith. Jesus said, because of your faith, the faith of somebody else. Jesus looked at the man, and the stage was set. Everybody was ready for Jesus to say, get up and walk. Jesus said, thy sins be forgiven. Thy sins be forgiven. So before Jesus healed him physically, Jesus had to work on the man's heart and forgive the man. I want to tell you, you want to walk with Jesus? Let him have your heart. Let him have your life. It takes tonight even your heart before you have a walk with God. Stand with me. Amen. Issues of the heart. Very vital. Very vital tonight. Brother Williams, this old dude, sometimes I get out of tune very quickly. I get out of sync very quickly. My spark plugs get fouled real quickly. When my spark plugs get foul, my mouth gets all messed up. My brain gets messed up. My heart gets messed up. And my life will get messed up. Thank God for an altar. I want to just challenge you. Always be an altar builder. If you don't have an altar in your life's going to have heart issues. Be a friend at the altar. Be one that keeps your heart with all diligence. For out of it is the issues of life. Would you bow your head with me right now? Jesus, you know our needs tonight in this place. God, a lot of heart issues starts with thinking. Or lack of thinking sometimes. Lord, we need your touch. We need your help. God, that we give you permission to work on us. Lord, would you open our hearts? Would you speak to us? Turn the light on. Search our hearts. And help our hearts to grow. Let us have a hunger and a desire. God, a heartbeat after you. Let our pulse be after you. That we could seek you with everything we got holy. That we could know you in the fullness of your spirit. We love you, Jesus. Search us, know us, and help us tonight. We give you praise and we give you thanks tonight. Even now, would you lift your hands and would you just love the Lord back for his grace? Come on, would you love the Lord? He's here tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, reach to Jesus tonight and love him. Give him some love. Give him some honor tonight. Lord, I love and I praise you. Thank you, Jesus. 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 I give you praise. I give you honor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. A man just mentioned, he said, when I was a kid, he said, my mom and daddy, we worked hard. And he said, we grew corn. And he said, every day, my four brothers and I, there was five of those boys, I think it was, they worked in the field growing, helping their daddy work hard. And the neighbor that lived across the street would watch every day those five boys along with their daddy was out in the field. And he seen them working, he seen them. And the neighbor one day approached the dad and he said, you know, it don't take that many people to grow corn. He said, all you and your five boys are always out there working. And he said, it don't take that many people to grow the corn that you grow. And the daddy looked at the neighbor and he said, I'm not just growing corn, I'm growing boys. I want the Lord to grow me. How about you? It takes some exercising of your faith and some learning and some things to grow God in your life and to grow your faith. Amen. I want to grow in Jesus Christ. Amen. You have a song, sister, sing?
With my whole heart.
Sing it.
I'm gonna love you with my whole life. I'm gonna live it for you.
Sing it with the church.
With whole heart, I'm gonna love you. With my whole life, I'm gonna live it for you. Take my heart, every secret part. In love.
Now you got it. Let's sing it together with my whole heart.
I'm gonna love you. My whole life. I'm gonna live it for you.
Let's go to heaven. God bless you tonight. Remember the announcements. Amen. Keep marching on, keep praying, and guard your heart. God bless you. I love you. Let's go to heaven together.